As I was putting together, we've been doing these, a five in a series, and as I was putting these together for today, it's hard. I mean, I have about 300 pages of insights from the Word and that I've written down during my quiet times, and I'm going, well, what do I do? What should I include? But these seem to be what God wants me to share in this five. So I want to thank you for watching. And the first thing we want to look at is to answer this question, who does God give his approval? You know, what is God looking for to give approval in my life? Well, in Matthew 25, 37 through 40, I would like to read that to you because it's so self-explanatory. But it says this, 37 through 40. Then the people who have God's approval will reply to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or see you thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you into our homes, and see you were in need of clothes and gave you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king answered and said, I guarantee this truth, whatever you did to one of my brothers or sisters, no matter how unimportant they seem, you did for me. That is very, to me, very, very significant. We have to be careful, I mean, with this warning that the Lord gave, we have to be careful that we're not a respecter of other Christians. You know, I treat them in a special way because they are important. God has given me privilege to speak to some really, quote-unquote, important Christians. And, you know, do we give them special honors because of their position in life or their finances? You know, all of that, the car they drive, all this kind of stuff. And so do I treat them the same as I would treat, as Jesus said, insignificant Christians in the very same way? My son, Richard, was ministering in a church in Houston as a youth pastor. Well, Richard's getting up in age, and he kept thinking, well, you know, I'd rather turn the youth ministry over to somebody younger. But he didn't know what he would do. So he was driving around Houston and saw a ghetto, about 7 miles from the church. And he thought, I'll just drive in there. So he drove into this ghetto, and it's kind of locked in because of a river, the freeway, and train tracks, things like that. And he drove in there and he began to look around, and God began to burden him for the people in this ghetto. And he really got excited about it. And so he went back and he told the pastor that he would like to give up his position as the head youth pastor and that he would like to be the outreach pastor. Well, the pastor told Richard, this is about in October. He told Richard, you know, we can put you on finances until April, but April on, there's no guarantee that we'll have any money to pay you. But Richard felt so led of God to go into this ghetto to make a difference. Now, this was new for him. He had never worked in a ghetto before. And so the pastor shared that really explore it. He talked to pastors in that area. He went to the schools to find out what could they do in the schools and how could they benefit the schools, what were special needs they had in that community. to kind of get a vision to put it all together. And so Richard looked it all over in all, and at that particular church, they take a special offering, which is at Christmas time, they take three offerings on top of the regular offerings for outreach. And so the first year, the pastor said, well, I don't want you to bring this up this time. I want you really to study it out and really have a program and a plan of what you're really going to do there, what could be done there. And so that year, I believe, in the three offerings, it got something like $40,000 for outreach. Well, Richard did a lot of research and praying and asking God, how could it go in and do kind of what Jesus said here? You know, how could he begin to meet some of the needs, not just the spiritual needs, but some of the other needs these people have? And so by the time that Christmas came around and he laid out what they could do and the people that probably they would need to be able to carry it out and all of that, he began to share that vision with the church. Like the food pantry there was out of food, and just shared all kinds of things at Christmas time with the church to see if they would catch the vision, that could they go in and make a difference. And at that Christmas time, they took three offerings. And when they gave the final amount in the January or sometime, and shared with the congregation how much money was given in the three offerings to be kick off or start this ministry, the offerings totaled almost $400,000. It just, my son couldn't believe it. And so he launched this ministry and adopted this ghetto for at least 10 years. They weren't going to run in, pass out tracts, and leave, but they were going to go in to make a difference. And he knew the more he was in there, the more he would see what all the needs are. But the ministry got so big, he had so many volunteers working in the schools with the kids, helping them with homework. A lot of volunteers from the church really caught a vision. And so he had to, after a while, just resign from the church, not from not going there, but being on staff at all, because it was taking up so much of his time. And he titled his ministry Attack Poverty, but the subtitle really was the purpose: Breaking Generational Poverty. Getting programs started that could help the kids that to get out of there and to be able to have a job and be able to go to colleges and all of this stuff. He had a tremendous vision. A lot of people said, this is great. And he also adopted a town in Uganda and began to do a work in Uganda also. Well, on our website, you can see a video of his ministry. They went over to Africa, a team from the church, because it's a team effort, went over there and they shot a video. And they had no idea of the impact that video was going to make of this town in Uganda and the needs and, you know, their planning and how they could help to meet the needs of the people. And someone said, you ought to submit that video to one of these film festivals. Well, they submitted it and it won first place in its class. They submitted it to seven or eight others and they won first place every time. But that video is on our website called The Uganda Man. And seeing that, you see a little of the work they're doing in North Richmond, that is where the ghetto is, and what they're doing in Africa. And the ministry has just It's unbelievable, all the wonderful things that are taking place and all the wonderful results that they're having. He's been there 4 years now, and most of it is done basically through volunteers. They just had Missions Week there in the ghetto, and his church, I think a couple other churches, sent people in. They had Bible school for the kids, a camp. They had all kinds of fun events, as well as sharing the gospel and all that kind of stuff. And he said, "Dad, we had 420 volunteers that came every single night after their work to be involved in this outreach." And he was just overwhelmed. But when you see results, and this is what Jesus is saying here, he said, whenever you do for those who have needs, legitimate needs, you're doing for me. And remember that God does not want me to be a respecter of persons because of their class, their race, or location. God so loved the whole world that he gave his son that the whole world would have an opportunity to know God in a very special, intimate, personal way. May the Lord bless you, and may you catch a vision for those, how you can reach those that are in need with a genuine thing, not throwing something at them, but really coming alongside and helping them. They've repaired houses, or they've done everything you could think of. But if you go on his website, you can link to it from ours. You can see the opportunities and what they have done and their vision of what they would like to accomplish there. And kids now that have made it out, many of the parents do not want their kids to grow up in the ghetto. They want them to be able to make a good living and to get out of that poverty-stricken area. God bless you.